So let me all welcome you once again in the English language for those of you who join us online or who will see this online. We are here in the Dharma Castle at the moment, and we are having a few interested souls who want to listen to this Gora meditation evening. Baba Sindhu, wir haben wahrscheinlich nicht wegen der Übertragung ins... one moment, I have to speak in English. I think we will need the peaceful atmosphere. English learning takes place by hearing. Also wenn man das nur hört, so habe ich auch mein Englisch gelernt. Dann irgendwann hat man es. Gut. I want to also say this is a part of a very intriguing mini-seminar on Sriman Mahaprabhu's Ashtakalya Lila Smaranam. These are a few verses which describe the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are going on eternally in a more than human dimension, the eternal spiritual world. And it is done in Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition that we turn off this world, we switch off, so to say, for some time in our bhakti sadhana and try to tune into the eternal spiritual reality. And while doing this, it's a process of smaranam or remembering, we are learning to reprogram and redirect our attention from the things of this world to the spiritual world. There is an interesting verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which will shed light on this process. Bhavite bhavite Krishna spuraye antade Krishna kripaya agya payarasa sindupare. It means, when one thinks of Krishna constantly, love for him manifests within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant, one can reach the far shore of the ocean of transcendental love by Lord Krishna's mercy. So this tells you a little bit about the principle teaching in this Gora meditation. We want to learn to replace our thoughts of this little life, this spot life, this few moments in eternity which we are occupied with this, what we call our life. No? We want to replace this engagement of our mind with the thinking of Krishna. I know this is a little advanced teachings, and I'm happy that I have advanced audience here with me. It's really bringing the whole principle which attracted me to bhakti in the foreground of our attention. We are replacing our small mind, which gets us through our day. You know, it is filled with cooking recipes and where we can shop. It replaces this small mind with the big mind, where we become aware of the things that are eternal and that are taking place in the vastness of reality. Before I start, I want to say something which is very much on my mind. All of us are often good at knowing what to do, but we are bad on doing it. Does this resonate with you? we do know what we should do, what is best to do, what is more, at least better than what I do at the present moment. We are very good in this, especially in a spiritual movement where we hear so much instructions on a daily basis, but we are bad in doing it. I, for instance, must admit, at the moment, I know it would be good if I would rise at 4 o'clock and do my sadhana with great absorption. This would mean I would have to go to bed before 10 o'clock. I know it is good. There are even books out. Join the 5 a.m. morning club, you know, get up early. Books which have all the arguments why this is better for your health, for your efficiency. And it is known to me also from the spiritual point of view. But it is I'm not easily able to do this because it's springtime and there is the spring tiredness, you know. So, why are we so good in knowing what we should do and so bad in doing it, we might ask. Well, one reason could be that our knowledge is only in our head, in our mind. It has not yet reached the center in our lives where our feelings of determination, for instance, of inspiration and so on reside. It has not yet reached our heart. Many of us still think, because we are perhaps still very much influenced by the Western misconceptions about life, that it's here where life takes place. But as one of my first teachers in Krishna consciousness said, get from your head into your heart. And he didn't mean something romantic and sentimental. He meant to bring the knowledge at the place where we can affect genuine transformation, where we can experience what is called a change of heart or a change of motivation, a change of our center. In spiritual circles, this moving from one level into another level is well known. For instance, when Sanatana Goswami gives the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or hears the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he's absolutely overwhelmed. In America, you would say he's blown away. No? It's such a strong knowledge and so much that he says it's like an ocean of knowledge. But I need something else than knowledge. I need your blessings so that whatever I have heard from you becomes manifested in my heart. This is the gap of us which we need to overcome if we want to become good in doing what we know is best for us. We need to make head knowledge, theoretical knowledge, into knowledge that is applied. And that's only possible if we come to the level of inspiration, if we come to the level of motivation, we come to the level of determination, all those qualities which are in the situated in the heart area, which is the second and, as far as Eastern tradition is concerned, more important center of knowledge, more than here. I sometimes think the greatest downfall of Western civilization is when a philosopher said, I know I am because I think. can we reduce a human being to what is mostly even not holistic thinking? It's just, what is it, left side or right side of the brain thinking? Can we bring the mysteries of our being into the, a little part and reduce it and shrink it and become so small? this is always the question of spiritual people. Now, the best and easiest way to come to this center where we can act upon our especially spiritual knowledge is, of course, a revelation of God and an experience of God in the heart. That's why some of us are very interested in pilgrimage, where we go to the holy places where the Lord is still present. But another way is also to hear directly about the world of Krishna. Yes, we will not hear about politics, we will not hear about the weather there, which we experience. We won't hear about the constant rumors which go on in this world. It's in a different dimension, which is not even covered by Google so on. But this experience, my dear devotees, can empower us to live from the spiritual level. For some of us, this hearing is therefore therapeutic hearing. It may not be hearing of interest. It may be just, I'm hearing this to enter and learn of another reality. I want to say one last thing. There is a prayer which many of us know. Jagannatha Swamina Yana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Please. It's in a way a very bold prayer. It is here where the devotee prays, O my Lord, kindly become visible to me. I want to see you. So once some of my godbrothers, fellow monks, asked my spiritual master, Is that all right to ask the Lord for direct darshan? We are not so qualified. Are we not too bold to do this? And my spiritual master, he had often said, don't try to see God. Try to act in such a way that God sees you. So in this prayer, we jump over this and say, can I just see you, please? And Prabhupada's answer on this occasion was different from all other answers, and I like it. Prabhupada says, unless the Lord reveals himself to you, how is it possible to go on in devotional service and in bhakti? So I want to say in this vein, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals himself during the Gora meditations and he becomes present in your heart, it will be very easy for you to move on in your spiritual life, and you will be very, very it will be very easy for you also to close this gap between your knowledge, what you should do, and your ability to do it. It will be very nice. So at the end of this meditation, this kata, I will therefore offer to all of us a nice meditation where we can move into actually envisioning the Lord within our heart. So because I want to cover that, I must put my wristwatch here so that I keep the time. Good. Oh, welcome, Bhagavad Dharma. Welcome, welcome. You're just arriving on time, as if you are from the time waiver. Let us open with a prayer. It is written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and it puts light on the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. We will just say it. It's an invocation, invocation prayer. Maje Radha Mutim Kamapi Navagora Dyutibaram Sadakyayam Dhyanam Madura Maduram Yam Manupamam Ganashyama Krishno Adbhuta Madhurima Nandatanaya Idanim Gaurasan Jayati Sanarvadvipam Abhita. I always meditate upon him and I speak about him. I worship this certain person who has taken on the form of Srimati Radharani, which has a fresh golden radiance. It is the sweetest nectar and it is peerless. This is the very same Sri Krishna, the blue complexioned son of Nanda Maharaj, whose sweetness is wonderful. He has now assumed a golden complexion and is glorified all over Navadvip. So here you see, this is a glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the same Krishna who was walking through the forest of Vrindavan, and he has now taken an external form of Radha. He's radiant, golden, no longer blackish, brilliant. And I do meditate about him. So the way this meditation is done is you divide the day in eight periods, and the period from 3:36 to 6 o'clock, it's exactly 2 hours and 24 minutes, is called period 5, or the afternoon pastimes take place during this time. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the same author, describes that Lord Chaitanya has so far has just ended his pastimes in the beautiful gardens of Navadvip. If you remember, in that garden there were, amongst many other wonders, a female and a male parrots who had called out when he came, Jai Sri Sachinandana. These parrots could speak. They were highly developed mystics, and they said, glory to the life and soul of Narahari and Gadadhar. Glory, glory to he who has manifested all these desire-fulfilling trees. can imagine the parrots taking their wing and showing to some trees, which when you go under them and you desire something, it can give you an arctic plate with all the ingredients for making an arctic, or if you desire, it can give you nice garments for worship and so on and so forth. And the parrots continue, glory, glory to Radha and Krishna, who have united in one form. And then they look around and look at the devotees. This is very important. They are apparently Bengali devotees, but this is not the real scenario. They have been with Krishna in Vrindavan in another body, in another mood. So the parrots know this. They are mystical parrots. They say, every single inhabitant of Vrindavan has come to Navadvip to perform pastimes that unlimitedly increase their prema. So this was, Lord Chaitanya was in these gardens where, amongst other things, these ecstatic parrots were glorifying him. He has now ended this because Gadadhar Pandit has come to him and said, my dear Lord, your mother in her home has prepared varieties of dishes. Please do go home and eat your meals. So Lord Chaitanya agrees and says, let me go before through the town of Navadvip and then sit for a moment at the banks of Mother Ganga, and then eventually I will return home to Mother Sachi. So this is the storyline. It is expressed in one Sanskrit shloka, which I could recite to you. It starts with Ya Shriman Aparana Ke Saha Ganaistat Tadrishe Premavangs. But because I do know that not every one of us, including myself, studies Sanskrit every day, I will not read it and go, those who will do the transcription for the book, they should insert now the verse. I have given you a summary of this meditational verse. So, this particular sadhana to bring the Lord in the heart and then feel that transformation takes place, no? You would chant this verse and then you would start to meditate about the meaning. And I want to bring you directly to the meaning of this verse, because it will be easier for you if you do not regularly meditate on these high spiritual confidential subjects. So Lord Chaitanya goes with two devotees on his side by a pathway that leads from these gardens of wonderment into the town of Navadvip. On his right side there is Nityananda, and on his left side there is Gadadhar. So as Lord Chaitanya first comes from the small path into the broader path, all the townspeople become aware of him and they turn their faces and they look at him with eyes full of wonderment, because Lord Chaitanya looks different. First of all, he's very tallly built, very tall, and his arms extend from his shoulders down to his knees. That is unusual. Krishna, if you would just get up for a moment, just if we can see, you can turn around. This is how normally your arms are. his Gauranga's arms would go right down to the knees. No? It is an unusual physique, so to say. Now, these arms were often turned up like this. Lord Chaitanya would laugh in ecstasy and say, Chan Krishna's name, in this ecstatic mood. No? It is further described when his arms would sway back and forth, and also as he walked, he didn't have a straight forward walk. He walked like someone who was intoxicated. I think if you remember the last times you were intoxicated, you were going left and right, if you were totally intoxicated. So he is intoxicated with love and ecstatic feelings of prema. His wavy locks of hair swing back and forth, and they look more like a swarm of bumblebee who changes the shape. No? And his glances are described are like flower arrows that are shot from the bows of his brows. When you were, I don't know if you have ever met people when they look at you, some charismatic people, it does something in the heart, no? Perhaps it was the reason that you married. But these are divine eyes and divine glances, and a very wonderful writer about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes has described this. It is his Shishya Kumar Ghosh, a revolutionary of his times, who went against the British government and was very, very active in Bengal. And he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He describes how an outsider, that is the Muslim governor of Navadvip, caught his first glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by citing this situation, he describes the effect of Lord Chaitanya's glance. I think if you can imagine, it was a tense meeting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not agree with the governor's order to stop all kirtan, but he assembled within a few hours a few hundred thousand people who were coming to the residence of the governor, the Qazi, holding torches and shouting, Kazima, 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 that is, beat the governor. It was quite intense. He looked down when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but then he raised his head to look full into the face of the Lord. And what he saw altogether bewildered him. Within a moment, he was fascinated. He felt that he was being overpowered and that the being in front of him was irrevocably taking possession of his heart, and that in spite of himself. He had been very afraid and anxious of this meeting, but as he looked up and saw into the face of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the glance which the Lord threw at him entered into his heart and totally changed it against his will, so that he became a lifelong supporter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had jeweled pearl necklaces, he always had a jasmine garland, and the his limbs were smeared, if you can imagine, with Malaya sandalwood. They looked very whitish, in other words. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then saw the main road and told Nitai and Gadadhar and all the devotees, let's go. So they went into the main road where the marketplace was, and the news spread in the town of Nadia, and they all came together just to catch one glance of this personality who was more beautiful than the God of love walking right amongst them. Women, men, the young and the old, and of course all the children ran to see him. It reminded everyone on the description of what happened when Krishna entered the town of Mathura. Perhaps you have heard about this description. Everyone went left and right to the side of the road. The brahmanas stood before their residences and they chanted auspicious mantras and threw water and barley corn, unbroken barley corn, and welcomed him with the recitation of Vedic hymns. And the ladies, who could not mix so freely with all the people, climbed the rooftops of the houses and looked down from the rooftops to see Krishna walking like a young elephant through the town of Mathura. Here in Navadvip was a similar scenario. The buildings were we talk of the spiritual world, white palaces, their banners and flags, the blow in the wind, and the gates of the palaces are decorated with jasmine flowers. So what the devotee does who meditates, he sees these palaces, these streets, the white sand, almost like someone who is lost in the world of games, is establishing a virtual reality in which he goes and then makes his adventures and loses his mind. The devotee also wants to get out of his head and enter into a parallel reality. Yeah, I know this is not for very, very beginners in spiritual life, but it is there. Why should we ignore? No. So Lord Chaitanya walks by these temples he passes this shop, and then a perfume voller comes, someone who is perfumed, and puts quickly some perfume on his head and says, please test this perfume. It is so wonderful that even after taking your bath, the fragrance will not disappear. And Chaitanya says, "What? How many conscience should I give you? These are small, small mushal, you know." No, no need. And he comes by an astrologer, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, "What was I in my past life?" And the astrologer takes the dates, does his meditation. And in his meditation, he says he sees Gopal Krishna. And he wakes out of his meditation. And Lord Chaitanya said, did you see something wonderful that irritated you slightly? The astrologer said, my calculations have never failed me. I know that I'm seeing before me not a human being, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wonderful, no? Little exchanges which took place. So Lord Chaitanya walks now through the spiritual Navadvip, which is also full of these personalities, and he hears the beauty of the Navadvip is he hears the recitation of Bhagavad Gita and the Puranas everywhere. Yes, there are places where children play. Everything is going on, but what he sees is that there are many places where the Vipras, the Brahmanas, study scriptures and where the philosophers sit together and argue about philosophy. I think it is like this. No, you have not considered this point, you know. There's constant philosophical talk. They don't talk about Donald Trump and Benjamin Yahoo, or you know, I don't know all the names of which are important, Rol Rinaldo, and so on. No discussion. They talk about philosophy, about Krishna, and so on. And what he also sees is that the ninefold devotional practices, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, play in every house. And he also sees that the eight mystic perfections are also there in every house. When Srila Prabhupada visited Hamburg, one of my godbrothers, I like to share this with you here, one day he looked through the keyhole to find out what Prabhupada would be doing behind the closed door. Do you know what he saw? He saw how Prabhupada started to levitate and get on a ray of the sun and then moved out of the window. You know, the temple was on the third floor, I remember. It's usually not advised to walk out of the window unless you know the mystic potency of Lagima City. You know? So he moved out of the window. Of course, my godbrother thought, "Yeah, LSD. It was released in the cells. It came out of the cells in some way. It's not possible." But he did not forget what he had seen, and he thought, "Was it just the after effects of all the trips? LSD trips are LSD consummation." You know, or was it real? So he had to clarify this doubt with Srila Prabhupada and asked, and Prabhupada answered, "I was just trying out the mystic perfections." It is said that the mystic perfections come to the devotees, and some devotees in special circumstances have seen themselves doing something which is against the laws of nature because the mystic perfections came there to their aid. But in the spiritual world, my dear devotees, they are readily available to everyone. That's the reason why whatever you desire, for instance, in the spiritual world comes to you, and with it you begin to serve Krishna. Isn't that nice? You know, no limitation to do service. You just desire to offer Lord Krishna. Oh, what could we desire? I mean, I see before my eyes a bowl made of sapphire, and I would desire Ganga water, and I would say, "May I wash your feet, my Lord? It is Ganga water. It is very nice." So many, it's in the Chandogya Upanishad says, in the spiritual world, the Lord desires and it becomes true immediately. And those who are thinking in this world about the Lord and who go into the spiritual world will obtain their spiritual bodies, and also their desires will become fulfilled, and with the fulfillment of their desires, they offer a service to the Lord. You must know, at that time, in the spiritual world, we don't think me any longer, like here, and me and my problem, and me and my desires. We think Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya then leaves the town of Vrindavan, of Navadvip, and he goes to sit at the Ganga Ghat. There are peacocks at that time, cuckoos and bees, and there is the beautiful fragrance coming from the flower fields of Navadvip. The steps on these ghats usually lead downwards to the Mother Ganga, but on the top of these ghats there are temples of Lord Shiva, seven shell temples of Lord Shiva. I really encourage you to, one of our friends is going in the next week to Varanasi to see these Ganga steps which go down in the gut to Mother Ganga, and he will just sit there from morning till evening and hear the bells of the Shiva shrines and totally recharge himself. Whenever people see Lord Chaitanya sitting on the Ganga, they are immediately captivated. It's described that some ladies come, they have just captured or filled their containers, water containers, with fresh Ganga water, and they hold it on their head. But then their hands become unsteady due to ecstasy, and they can't hold the pots of water any longer, which slip down and crash on the Ganga steps. And it's not a disturbance. It adds to the beauty of the atmosphere. And they asked, is he the God of love? But then they think, no. When the Cupid, well, in the spiritual world, they don't ask this question. They ask this in the Navadvip of this world. When they see Lord Chaitanya, they ask, is he the God of love? He enters my heart so much. But then everyone comes to the conclusion, no, he is not the God of love, because Cupid, or Cupid, some languages say like this, agitates the heart. No? You become full of desire. When you see Lord Chaitanya, the heart is pacified. I'm almost at the end, and then we will come to our meditation. So then Gauranga calls the names of Krishna's cows, because as he goes, he has now gotten up from his seat at the banks of the Ganga, and he goes into the home, and there are all kinds of cowherd boys with cows come and drive the cows in a direction which is opposite. He comes this way, the cows come like this. And he begins to call the names of the cows, because thousands of them come in his direction. He is reminded of Krishna, who used to bring the cows home into the village of Vrindavan, and he would call the cows to come with him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then goes home. He sees, and when Mother Sachi sees her darling son, who is known as Sachi Nandana, the son of Sachi, sees him, she does what she does every evening. She comes forward slowly and quietly and sits before Gauranga. So those who relate to Lord Gauranga with feelings of motherly love will go along with Sachi following her along, going slowly and quietly before Gaura. And then she wipes his limbs, which are dusty, with her own cloth to remove the dust that has assembled on his golden body. So the meditating devotee will sit before Lord Chaitanya, and in his own cloth he will wipe the beautiful body so that it becomes clean, and he will, by the touch of the Sachit Ananda body, become ecstatic. Everyone who sees this loving scene is reminded of Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. When Krishna comes home, first of all, Mother Yashoda sees him, and she takes an arctic lamp to wave an arctic lamp, which is which is full of light, and she removes all inauspiciousness from the limbs of Krishna. And then she also pampers Krishna, wipes his body, gives him something to eat, brings him home so that he to the bathroom where many servants are, and bathe Lord Krishna. And Mother Yashoda is outside thinking, oh my darling boy, soon he will be ready will be very hungry. And at that moment she hears, ah! Let me see, the sleeping member is awakened. Not yet, he's almost half dead. the Mother Yashoda runs into the bathing room. What happened? And she sees Krishna smiling. Krishna has just pretended that the water was too cold to just make some drama, you know, some playful drama. So all these things are going on. My dear devotees, as we are talking about this, I can see that some of you are becoming very inspired, because this Krishna Katha or Gaura Katha enters your heart and awakens perhaps a desire and a hope that yes, there is a reality beyond this world. And if I meditate not just about the daily things in this world, but about Krishna, about Gaura, I have in my heart Krishna. And as I have in my heart the Lord, something will happen. Bhavite bhavite Krishna spuraye antare Krishna kripaya agya paya rasa sindhu pare. When one thinks of Krishna constantly, love for him manifests within the heart. Same as with Gauranga. If one thinks of Gauranga, some love for him manifests within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant, one can reach the far shore of the ocean of transcendental love by Krishna's mercy. Now we will meditate. Raghu, you can now go into another form of samadhi if you want. I would suggest we sing a little kirtan, and then I will read to you within the kirtan. The melody will continue, Gaur Krishna. No? Then I will read to you the verse which summarizes what you have just heard, and then you can see if for some time you remember something which you have heard and keep that in your heart. No? That is the beginning of Smaranam is to bring willfully, with an effort, into our mind, which is so occupied with material things, no? Something spiritual. And that's something which you bring in the heart, the spiritual impression, can act like the sun, which raises in the dawn of your consciousness, in the consciousness, and puts some light. No, I know some of you are very expert in doing it, and some are still approaching this with some curiosity. Please be open to spiritual practice. It will be good for you. Mm-hmm. Is breaking the sound. It is all right, Guru Krishna. We can't always, when we are expecting perfection always, we will be frustrated in this world. Is there a Madanga player who knows? Who doesn't play like a like an elephant? Boom, 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 boom. Perhaps we sing with katas, no? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As you're singing, you can already do something which will prepare your mind for Smaranam. You can try to bring your mind into every single name. In other words, when it's Hare, your mind is totally connected with this vibration. It is, so to say, surrounded with it and then penetrated by it, no? Try to hear every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare.
Everyone, during this splendid and beautiful afternoon period, the Lord and His devotees become equally maddened in ecstatic love. See in your eyes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kirtan as ecstasy begins to overwhelm him and tears of love come from his eyes and goosebumps appear like a swarm of bees all over his transcendental body. As the Lord and His devotees chant and dance like this and become ornamented with the symptoms of ecstasy, they expend auspicious benefit for all the three worlds. In this mood, they leave the gardens. Remember the gardens where the parrots and peacocks talk about Krishna? And they go towards the home of Lord Chaitanya. On the way, as they go through Navadvip, they satisfy the eyes of all the townspeople. Their beauty and their love. It is as if the moon rises and satisfies the moon bird with its moonbeams. Reaching finally home, the Lord is given the loving attention by His mother. Oh, my dear devotees, I thus meditate on the daily pastimes of Lord Gaura. Please, everyone, sing.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna. So I thank all of you very much for being here with us. I would like to say a few words in German to my German-speaking audience, which is assembled here. And I suggest that we, at this moment, interrupt the thing. Yes, I will say goodbye to my online audience here. Thank you for coming with us, coming to us. The next two sessions or so will be a continuation. We will enter into the sunset pastimes, then into the evening and the midnight pastimes. And then we will conclude this mini-series on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Eightfold Pastimes in the Spirit World. Very much welcome. Hare Krishna. So, ich möchte dann auch noch etwas in deutscher Sprache mit euch teilen, weil ihr seid. Ihr merkt vielleicht, in meinem Herzen ist ein Zögern, über diese Dinge zu sprechen in Deutschland, weil sagen wir mal so, ich eine Absenz von Mystikern wahrnehme in unserem Land, unter den Devotees. Es ist deswegen ein Zögern dort, über diese Dinge anzufangen zu sprechen. Doch denke ich ganz persönlich, dass jeder, der auf dem spirituellen Weg ist, ein ehrliches Inventar oder eine Bestandsaufnahme machen muss von den Gedanken, die er während des Tages hat. Was läuft da durch den Geist hindurch? Nach Studien zu urteilen, sind die meisten von uns damit beschäftigt, einfach ist der Geist der meisten Menschen einfach chronisch abgelenkt. Er macht Kommentare über das, was er gerade wahrnimmt. Oh, der hat ja einen unmöglichen Anzug an. Oder das Wetter ist wirklich viel zu kalt. Der Geist reist auch immer wieder in die Zukunft. Oh, bald werde ich meinen Zustand verändern und eine Reise dort und dorthin machen oder alles wird besser, meine jetzigen Probleme werden sich lösen oder verschlimmern. Also das ist bald. Oder man denkt an die Vergangenheit. Was ist da gestern geschehen? Was hat er gesagt? Was hat er gemeint? Sehr oft, das ist ein viertes neurologisches Pattern, ist, dass man versucht, sich irgendwie aufzustellen in dieser Welt. Man würde das nennen, aus der spirituellen Perspektive, das Ego zu stabilisieren. Nicht? Und das vierte, was so passiert, in dem Denken eines normalen Menschen ist ja, dass er sich vergleicht mit anderen. Oh mein Gott, der schafft es viel besser als ich. Der ist viel gesünder als ich. Der sieht viel stattlicher aus in seiner, von seinen Erfolgen. Oder man denkt darüber nach, wie nehme ich denn andere wahr? Wahrscheinlich denken sie, ich bin... und so weiter. Ne? Das ist also ständig etwas, wir brauchen also nicht irgendwelche stürmischen Gefühle, um abgelenkt zu sein und nicht mehr bei uns zu sein. Das passiert täglich, jede Minute, und viele dieser Gedanken sind, wie gesagt, auf Wiederholschleife und so ein unglücklicher Natur. Und ich habe das irgendwann in meinem Leben auch gesehen, diese Repetition. Und habe dann irgendwann gedacht, da muss es doch etwas geben, was man da unternehmen kann, um einfach ein anderes Leben zu führen. Weil es ist ganz klar, wenn wir die alten Gedanken weiter haben, die alten Muster, wird nichts Neues in unser Leben kommen. Nicht? Erst wenn wir neue Gedanken schaffen. Und das ist, wie gesagt, das ist nicht getan, indem man einer Institution beitritt oder ein paar Mal am Tag, ein paar Mal in der Woche, vielleicht einmal in der Woche ein Kirtan-Programm besucht. Wir müssen irgendwann mal anfangen zu sehen, okay, was denke ich denn so täglich auf einer, so im Minutentakt? Was ist da, was passiert da oben? Nicht? Und ich weiß, dass es eine, oder man kann sich auch fragen, habe ich mich wirklich wesentlich verändert? Und so, und ich denke im Augenblick wirklich auch, bin nicht mehr davon überzeugt, dass durch eigene Bemühungen ein Wandel eintritt. Ihr habt ja gehört, wie ich introduced habe, dass wir meistens wissen, was wir tun sollten, aber in der Ausführung immer wieder daneben hauen. Nicht? Also ich sehe, ich könnte jetzt euch anschauen, also und sofort ein paar Beispiele. Ja, ich weiß, dass einige ihr Essverhalten verändern möchten, weil sie ja so dick geworden sind. Nicht? Und dann kommt der Abend und dann ist Comfort Food die einzige Lösung für einen runterzufahren. Und dann ist man wieder da und wo man gewesen ist, bevor man dieses bessere Wissen hat. Ich sollte aber nicht meine Augen öffnen, sonst downloade ich peinliche Einzelheiten aus eurem Leben, was nicht fair ist und nicht getan wird in spirituellen Kreisen. Nicht? Es sind also es ist ganz wichtig, meiner Meinung nach, ich habe auch viele von diesen Patterns und merke, alleine da auf eigene Anstrengung durchzukommen, ist wahrscheinlich nicht möglich. Ich muss die Sonne in mein Bewusstsein einleiten, um die Dunkelheit wegzukriegen. Ich muss sie einladen. Also ich kann sie einladen, wenn ich möchte. Und wenn ich diese Sonne einfach einlade auf einem minütlichen Basis, dann verändert sich das und dann wird man glücklich. Vor ein paar Tagen habe ich habe einen Masseur getroffen, also habe mit ihm gesprochen. Und der fragte, wie geht es? Und er sagte, ich habe gesagt, eigentlich physisch, man muss das unterscheiden. Physisch geht es mir gerade nicht sehr gut, weil ich in einer Bleiausleitungskur bin. Endlich habe ich gesehen, dass da eine Bleivergiftung vorlag, die mich belastet hat für lange Zeit. Und das ist sehr anstrengend. Das wird alles durchgewirbelt, die Toxide im Body. Und so. Aber ich muss sagen, seit einigen Jahren ist in mir so etwas wie ein beständiges Glück. Ich bin einfach glücklich. Sagt er, wie macht man denn das? Du musst deine Gedanken, du musst in die Gedankenwelt hineingehen. Und dies habe ich dann sehr geschätzt. Ich weiß, dass Gadadhar, du dieses Buch hast übersetzen lassen und dann in deutscher Sprache sogar rausgegeben. Das ist im Vedenakademie Verlag rausgekommen. Ich glaube, weil du zu der Zeit gedacht hast, was kann ich tun, damit der Geist einfach beschäftigt ist, ne? Und vielleicht kann das helfen, nicht? Also es ist natürlich nicht immer so, dass man so leicht so in diese Dinge hereinkommt. Es heißt ja in der spirituellen Tradition, dass die spirituelle Welt, da gibt es vor jedem der vier Eingangstore 8 scharf geschliffene Speere. Also es ist ein Bild. Mystiker sprechen in Bildern zu uns, die sagen, man kann da nicht reinstürmen, nicht? Man kann nicht so, ich komme jetzt, hallo. man kann nicht Hindernisse, die davor sind, dann überwinden. So, aber was auch sehr gut hilft, ist, dass man regelmäßig liest, und was ich immer tue, ist, ich spreche dann über das, was ich gelesen habe, statt über Einkäufe und über was die Frisur von Veränderung bei dem so ist, ne? Das habe ich übrigens nie gemacht, nicht? Und so, warum nicht über das, was man gelesen hat, sprechen? Also das hilft mir sehr, nicht? Und irgendwie oder anders, nimmt das bitte mal mit, dieses Bhavite, 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 würde Shumit sagen. Bhavite, Bhavite, so sagt es in Bengali. Krishna Spuraye an Antore. Wenn man thinks of Krishna constantly, wenn man an Krishna immer wieder denkt, dann manifestiert sich im Herzen Liebe zu ihm. Nicht? Dann sind ganz andere Gedanken. Warum nicht nochmal verknallt werden auf unsere alten Tage, Hari Seva? Das sagt man, glaube ich, in Thüringen. Gut. Ja, das sind so Gedanken. Aber ich möchte euch auch eingestehen, ich bin auf dem Weg dahin, also das ist nur ein Bewusstwerden zunächst einmal, was immer da ist, und eine Rebellion innerlich. Nein, ich lasse mich nicht von meinem Geist, das sind ja nicht eigene Gedanken, das sind Gedanken, die ich aufgeschnappt habe, die gehören nicht zu mir. Ich bin ein ewiges Wesen, ich möchte in Gott versunken sein. Warum lasse ich, ich will dann nicht, dass mein Geist mit schmutzigen Lederstiefeln durch den Geist läuft und dort Spuren hinterlässt, die dann über den Tag da drin sind. Also selbstbestimmtes Leben, würde man dazu sagen in der Psychologie. Ja gut, dann danke ich euch zunächst einmal. Ich danke auch unser Kala Kanta und Gadata, dass ihr die Möglichkeiten geschafft haben. Und ich glaube, auch Ishan ist zu danken, der irgendwo wahrscheinlich schon bei den Kochtöpfen ist, nicht? Wie er das so gütig macht. Und es hat mich sehr gefreut, auch Bhagavad Dharma, dass du hast es direkt geschafft, schnell wie du immer bist, auf den Punkt genau einzutreffen. Herzlichen Glückwunsch, da ging es nämlich los, wie du reinkommst, reingestürzt bist. Und so, ja. Krishna. Ich sehe euch zum Beispiel ganz verschwommen, nur wegen diesem, weil das alles so frei wird mit dem Blei. Ne? Aber es ist schön, Menschen wahrzunehmen um sich herum, weil man immer so in Sachen drin steckt, also in Servicen, in den Bucharbeiten und so, ja. Ich wünsche euch alles Gute. Ich habe gehört, dies ist eine schwierige Zeit. Merkur ist retrograde, das heißt, es ist sehr schwierig. Kommunikation sind schwierig unter Menschen, da läuft plötzlich ein Streit wegen irgendwas rein. Ich würde euch empfehlen, ein bisschen vorsichtig zu sein. Wir haben in unserem Ashram schon gesehen, dass plötzlich da was war und wir alle ein Stündchen später gefragt haben, was war denn das? Hallo, das passt gar nicht zu unserem Ashram. So richtig. Also so. Und aber ich bin ehrlich gesagt der Meinung, es war nie einfach in der materiellen Welt. Man hört immer so, oh, jetzt ist es ja ganz besonders schlimm, weil jetzt im Nahen Osten der Ausbruch eines weltweit um sich greifenden Krieges droht. Ne? Ich habe das schon in diesem einen Leben so oft gehört. Das gab immer wieder diese News. Das ist gar nichts Neues. Aber die Zeitung, die tun das so aufblähen, weil ja mit Angst kriegt man die Menschen. Das ist bekannt. Und mit schrecklichen Nachrichten. Die größte Unterhaltung im Mittelalter waren Hinrichtungen. Und das muss man, ja im Ernst, da kommt jeder aus dem Dorf zum Platz, festlich geschmückt und ruft. Und das muss man einfach nur in die Zeitung weiterbringen und dann verkauft man, hat man Interesse. Also es war immer so, aber deswegen denke ich. Aber ich würde trotzdem sagen, mit Kommunikation seid vorsichtig, wie ihr euch ausdrückt, nicht, dass plötzlich Sachen hochgehen. Das habe ich ein paar Mal gemerkt und da nur so als kleiner Tipp aus der Astrologenküche. Sollte man eigentlich immer sein. Das ist ein japanischer Haiku, den ich immer gelernt hatte, aber das läuft nicht so gut in Deutsch. Wären meine Worte Feuerholz, so würde jetzt ein Scheiterhaufen für mich da sein, der mich verbrennt. Mhm. Wenn man alle Worte so zusammensammelt, die so rausrutschen und einige der kritischen, dann entsteht da ein Scheiterhaufen, der einen verbrennt. Gedichtkunst, japanische Art. Gut, dann alles Gute für euch. Ich denke, es gibt jetzt Prasadam. Auch sehr schön, Oliver, dass du gekommen bist. Ich habe dich ja im Mahalaya Yoga-Studio gesehen. Ne? Und danke, dass du dies. Wie nennt sich dieses tolle Musikinstrument?
Ich weiß es nicht, aber es ist ein Ei, auf dem draufsteht. Extra laut.
Extra laut. Ja, das sind diese Kleinen, die wirklich den Rhythmus mittragen können. Sehr schön. Ja, also da du hast Zukunft, dieses extra laute Ei zu bewegen. Gut, dann alles Liebe und Gute.